I reckon if those floor escalators. No, maybe those floor escalators so you can get through the.
Like in Pokemon?
Like, no, I'm thinking, yeah, like in Pokemon, but more like in. I'm thinking like at airports, you know, those things so you can walk fast.
Like? Yeah, yeah.
You imagine having one of those in your house?
I reckon you could set one up in your hallway.
Yeah, easy, easy. Georgie
if
knows.
If I got to go to the toilet, I want to walk to your toilet.
Yeah, exactly. I want to slowly glide there.
Yeah, well, you know or quickly I mean? Glide even.
My only issue with those ones at the airport, now that you brought it up, is they aren't long enough. Like, take me to my gate.
You're not
like to the next to the next gate sort of hub.
Yeah, no,
take me right there. Why do I have to go?
It should be like a vacuum sealed like tube like in Futurama where you just walk under and go and just sucks you into the place.
Oh, anyway, that's one way to start a podcast. But look, what I want to say before we can really crack into the footy. Thank you for everyone who watched that draft video. I think, and shout out to Dino who came up with his top 20 very diligently, and you know. What's it called? That's
a lot of research, but I enjoy it. So, and I was doing it all year. So, thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks to Matta and Georgie's support, Matta's editing.
Yeah, that's it.
But no, most importantly, thanks everyone for watching, and we got heaps of new subs as well. Yeah. So, welcome to everyone.
Yeah, and comments as well, engaging with us. We appreciate that. We're gonna have to.
There's more to come, surely.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. We'll organize something.
I was sort of teasing earlier before we started. My opinion already since the video changed slightly.
Yeah.
Due to engaging comments in this comment section, but others due to watching the finals of the Coates League and maybe reevaluating some players. But
fair enough.
That's all part of it. It's all part of the fun. So.
That is true. Well, that's the thing. It's such a the draft is so fluid, and you know that you see on Cal Toomey's mock. He's not his mocks. His phantom guide. Just the way the numbers change all the time. Like he had what Harvey Langford at 2.
He's had him top 3 for a while.
Yeah. So that's but like that I feel like what. 2 phantoms ago, he might have been, out of the top 8 just about.
Yeah, he's rising.
So out of the top 10. But yeah, anyway, we'll keep at it with draft content here and
when
there.
When did the combine start?
Good question. I think it's a month or so before the draft, which is in November.
Mm. So yeah, so there's November, more. Yeah. There's more to come. There's more to come. But until then.
Anyway, we'll look at the date. But there's plenty of time now for medicals, interviews, testing. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about, just quickly to touch on it, in the AFL combine, unless you're injured, most players participate at least in the measurements. Not all of them do all the testing if they're pretty confident of their draft range, but it's different. Like in the NBA, all the top prospects, for example, they sit it out completely.
Yeah. They just pull out.
They just don't do anything, whereas most of the players do something to give you some information, which is good. So,
do they have that thing where they don't say your weight or your height anymore? Is that a thing?
Height, I think for sure. The weight... I mean, the AFL doesn't. I don't know if they do in the underage, but...
Yeah, I haven't paid attention to that, actually, because that's... Look, I still think that's rubbish, to be honest
with you. Definitely rubbish, but if you're picking a prospect, you want all the information that you need.
I'm sure they get it, but they probably aren't allowed to post it. Yeah. I don't know. Had to guess. But anyway, it's fun season. I mean, there's only 2 teams left now in the actual season, so the rest of us are looking to the draft, and our team's getting better to try and be one of these teams, right?
Yeah,
so,
true.
Shout out. I guess let's say, well done, Brisbane. Well done, Sydney. They made it. Yeah. It's kind of nice now upon reflection that the 2 teams that lost the last 2 grand finals have, stuck it through and made it again. So one of them isn't going to have that repeat. The other one, unfortunately, will.
Yeah, well, I think Sydney we've kind of backed in most of the year. They've been pretty much the best team for the majority of the year, especially the first half. Brisbane's been the enigma that started slowly, then had that massive form. Are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? Then they didn't finish in the top 4. Mm. You're like, oh, they've wasted their chance, and they've still found a way to make themselves... back-to-back grand finals appearances. So in an inconsistent year, they've kind of followed the trend, haven't they?
That's true. We started off talking a bit about the Sydney.
Yeah, for sure.
Port game. Yeah. Well, look, all I can say is I'm happy, to be honest with you. it's nice to see Ken Hinckley and his nowhere club, maintain that status. But nah, look, I think the one thing I will say about the criticism on Hinckley and on Port in general, we've got to admit, this is still an extremely young side. Like, you look at their best players, all of their best players are, very young.
It's a balancing act of criticizing rightfully that they've been thereabouts for long enough, but not even made a grand final,
let alone
win one. Mm. But also, on the other end of the coin is the fact that they're consistently up there, and with a rejuvenated list, they've maintained their position there.
Yeah.
So, I think overall, if I'm being honest, you got to be in it to win it. But there is something missing there. I think that's that last piece is where the criticism comes in.
Clearly.
And you'd think they would have found it by now because they make win now moves, it feels like every year in the trade period. That's probably another reason why, we're probably a bit harsher on Port. Mm. But
did you guys actually expect them to beat Sydney, though?
No.
There you go.
No way. No. I think Sydney, especially having those X Factor game winners, we all knew that there's going to be moments in that game where there'll be a Heaney moment and so on.
Yeah.
And it all happened. Mm. Like, they didn't really nullify any of Sydney's major players. Like, Goulden had a great game.
Yeah.
Warner played all right. Heaney, of course. Like, you got to stop a couple of those guys if you want a chance.
Yeah, 100%. Look, Port Adelaide, I think, a little bit up against it because they do have some of their better players out. Like, Houston's kind of the main one. Their forward line, if you're relying on Charlie Dixon as your main spearhead at this point of his career, I feel like, you know, you're lacking a little bit. And they played out of their skins last week against the Hawks. They brought the pressure. They were hard up against it, and they played a really great game. But they just either didn't come with the same intensity, or just whatever plan they had just didn't come to fruition against Sydney. Just they were outclassed. So
I guess also it doesn't help that, you know, we found out that Butters actually had cracked ribs.
Yeah,
so you know, that's you know, playing with cracked ribs the last two games. Good effort for him. Honestly, I'm glad he did it as well, because I think at one stage when he went out, I was kind of questioning his toughness and this and that, but no, you know what? Well, you're tough, buddy.
He's won Most Courageous Player 2 years in a row, and it's kind of fitting that he's had to come up against that in the final series and battle through it. So it enhances his reputation in that area, I guess.
Mm. 100%, yeah. But look, I think, we're talking about Sydney's game breakers, right? And they have those. But something I noticed specifically in this game is all their forwards have very defined roles, and they just play with such harmony. I don't know if that's the right word, but they, like, say, Papley obviously is a dude, you know, small guy, you know, crumbing, also runs into the midfield a little bit. Luke Parker played a role where he was, you know, nullifying Alir's ability to intercept. You've got three dudes who can take contested marks. You have Will Haywood, who is, because he's a, what do you reckon, he's what, 190 centimeter around there? Maybe a bit shorter.
He'd be around there.
He's a guy who can crumb and he can play small, but then he can, if you got a small defender on him, he can take the mark. You know what I mean? So it's just all of these dudes, they just fit together so well, man.
Yeah, they're all very versatile. You're right.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting next week because Brisbane have a lot of intercept type players. You know, they're some unheralded, you know, Jack Payne and, you know, Lester and that type of stuff. But I don't know. It's almost like the best performing forward line this year. You know, I don't know if that's, is that a controversial call when Carlton have?
Well, I don't think you can say Carlton's forward line's perform well at all.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, but like, I guess I'm just thinking because Kerno and Mackay, but then I guess, you know, I think
Geelong has a case for a pretty strong forward line.
Yeah, true, true.
Yeah. Some really classy small forwards in Jeremy Cameron. But yeah, I think Sydney as a unit, you're right, I think their synergy's on. They've got a lot of skillful players that are versatile. When you've got good foot skills, you can make things look simple, and you can also create a lot of space in your forward line when you move things quickly. So that also helps as well. It's not like Logan McDonald has set the world on fire, or who's the other guy?
Amari McLean.
They're not like crazy household names or anything like that. But if they compete, they play their role, and if you can deliver it to them properly, then they're going to get an opportunity. But the other thing about Sydney, especially recently, they've got a couple of their midfielders like Chad Warner and Heaney are starting to kick goals again, which in their form slump towards the end of this year, they weren't as potent in that area. So if you come grand final day and Heaney ends up kicking two goals, Goulden kicks a goal and Warner kicks two goals, I'm betting that Sydney wins that game. So that's something that Brisbane have to really go after, I think.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's the modern AFL, isn't it? Like, can't even think of the last time a team won because their key forward was the hub of their forward line and that guy dominated the final series, including the grand final. It doesn't really happen like that.
Yeah. Having said that, Amati did kick three goals. McDonald kicked two goals. And Papley, who's a superstar, kicked three.
Well, that's the thing. It's not all about any one of them, though. Yeah. It's multiple goal kickers from multiple danger points, right? So,
and then McLean got in. He got a goal as well. And, you know, he shares his time in the ruck as well. So, they're all making themselves useful. And that's why the way all of them sort of play their role and, you know, they make it work. And then obviously that allows, you know, their midfield to shine as well. You know, they probably make Heaney and, you know, guys like Jake Lloyd who enter the ball into the 50. And who's the other one? All their kicks into the 50. I think that they make them look better because of the way that they move around. And like, there was one play, and I loved it, when Jake Lloyd was entering the 50 with the kick and he's like, "Hey, you, out the way." So this was on his credit. He pulls, I don't know if it was, I can't remember who he told to get out the way, but it opened the channel for a lead and he kicked the ball perfectly to the spot. They're smart footballers, man.
It's the experience.
Oh yeah. Like Jake Lloyd, man. Like, I think he became a bit like, you know, in Supercoach, right? He was the guy because he was the seagull. And I think people kind of undervalued him just because he was a huge disposal accumulator and, you know, oh, you know, chip kick, chip kick. But he's a smart footballer, man. He's there's a reason why they always went for – they always would kick it to him because he's smart. He knows how to build up the play and finish the play as well.
Yeah, it's a very settled defense, Sydney, as well. You know, you talk about Blakey and his delivery. Rampy's a soldier. So, you know, McCartan as well. So I don't think that's changed too much over the year, that back line. So, yeah, it's a settled team. No one's really coming in with serious injury cloud. I think other than Logan McDonald, hopefully he gets up.
Yeah, apparently I had a quick read. He didn't make training. Was it opening training session on Sunday? But, yeah, it says he had no Logan McDonald but positive signs.
It would be harsh because he was dropped 2 years ago and didn't play in that game, albeit they lost. And then you've got Taylor Adams as well.
Yeah, well, that's the other one.
I don't think he's getting in.
I don't think he's getting in either. Why would you bring him in now?
That's harsh as well.
And even if McDonald doesn't play, you're not going to bring in Adams for that as a replacement. Yeah,
that's harsh. And then you had the – what do you guys make of the Rampy incident where he got let off from getting suspended? I think fair enough. I don't want to see him get suspended for that. Yeah. But during the season, I think he might have.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I was thinking that more so with the Paddy Dangerfield one as well, that incident. Has a result come out for that one yet?
Nah. Don't think it's anything.
But now they can suspend him anyway, so it's all good. You know,
definitely, they'll never admit to treating things differently for finals, but we all know they do.
Yeah, well, we saw last year for Braden Maynard. We saw that
he retired a player and he still made it,
and he didn't get suspended. So yeah.
Anyway, what about Paul? Where do they go from here? We mentioned disappointing. What do they need? What do you think they actually need to get over the hump? Is it a matter of just another year in a Horn Francis, Butter stays fit?
I think they need some more talent, man. Some more young talent.
Yeah.
I think maybe key position stocks.
And key position, yeah.
Like, I think that's probably a big one because, like, I'm trying to think around the ground. Like, you know, you got Dixon. Radaglia was actually a really good pickup because he's shown his versatility going both ends of the ground.
I think if they're being honest,
yeah,
Radaglia, Alirelia, and Georgiades look really good.
Yeah.
Aside from that, Zirk Thatcher,
I don't think he's in their future calculations.
I think he always was overrated as a recruit. Just because someone wants to leave their team, it doesn't amplify their value. But
he filled a hole for them, and it's like, oh, they're getting someone to come in to play the back line because they had issues, right?
What happened to Ollie Lord, man?
I think he's injured. Okay. Or he's not getting any touches in the VFL, but he ain't coming in.
Yeah, because he was a dude who I remember seeing him like last year and thinking, this guy's a gun, man. Mm. I was scared of that guy. I'll take him in North.
You've got... Yeah. Well, we take a lot of players. But yeah, then you got like Marshall.
Who was a really accurate set shot. That was like his saving grace. Then this year he's hasn't had that.
And he's prone to an injury as well. I think that's part of it, but doesn't seem to be any player out there that they could get other than Lukosius.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't know if that's enough. Yeah,
does like that fix their problems?
He's good, but he's not team changing.
Would you part on like a Dan Houston if you can get a really nice deal to pick up some talent in this draft? Would you do that if you're Port Adelaide?
It's tough. They're always in win-now mode.
If you could get two first-round draft picks for Houston and they were in this draft for Port Adelaide, are you doing it?
If they intended to draft a key position player to fill a need, why would you? I think that just sets them back a little bit. I think if you spot a talent that you think can come straight in and play an impact, why not? It depends.
Yeah. No, I think Dan Houston's a good player, man. I think
he's a very good player.
Like, I was surprised when you were saying that you don't want him at Carlton last week.
Yeah, well, it's not because he's not good, but I just don't think that it's who Carlton should be spending their money on. Because at the end of the day, it's not that you don't want that play. It's what you have to give for him.
Oh, fair enough.
It's the contract. Yeah. It's all those type of things. So it's like, is that the need for the Blues? I don't think that's the main need for the Blues. Every team needs classy footballers that can kick the ball, and Carlton is one of those teams. But
do you want to put all your eggs in that basket?
I'd rather have my eggs on a small forward or... A midfielder with some pace or a half forward or anyone that's a forward.
Yeah,
please give me another forward.
He's not a complicated man. He just wants when Mikhail Kerno can't mark it for whatever reason, that there's not hopeless players.
Someone
crumbing the ball.
Grab see the ball on the ground, pick it up and snap it. And then that snap go through more times than it doesn't.
It must kill you to watch like Geelong small forwards, Brisbane small forwards, Sydney small forwards.
It does kill me.
Papley specifically was meant to be a Carlton player.
Can you believe
he was destined?
Like, just give a first round pick for Papley. Just give Sauce didn't want to trade for him. at the time, we probably used that pick on like Sam Petrosi-Seaton or some guy that's like out of the system. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a record of a track record of not being able to pick good players in a draft, trade them.
Anyway, fair.
It's not a Carlton thing, but yeah. You got to vent every pod that has to be a little Carlton segment.
Mine's coming later. Don't worry. Sorry. But no, fair enough. I think they just go again. And they'll try and get maybe a Lukosius and just see how they go.
Yeah, I agree. To be honest, like, I'm not overly panicked about their list, to be honest with you. Like, we're kind of just nitpicking to find, you know, things that they need, because they seem to find random dudes. Like, say a Logan Evans comes in, all of a sudden he's a useful player down back. You know what I mean? So it kind of covers that type of, like, that position a little bit. You know, they've got a bit of depth there. Houston's a gun. You know, he comes back in, he's kicking into the 50s, one of the best in the league. You need that. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just, it's probably the reliance on, you know.
Look, you still got Travis Boak playing. Yeah. Like, Travis Boak's been a gun, but like it's probably time for him to go. You're right about Dixon needs to be replaced. So there's some of those type of players that you can find spots for. Who's their like their main winger?
Jace Burgoyne.
So he's got...
He's pretty good.
He's got a future.
Yeah. Maybe it's those positions around the edges. It's a similar thing to like to the Bulldogs, you know, those sort of the wing positions, the half forwards. Maybe that's kind of... But I don't think the list is that bad.
I hate to say it as well, being a North fan, but Horn Francis is only getting started. And I think when he can go from 70-30 forward mid-split to like 50-50 or just play mainly... play more like 80 or 90% midfield and have 25-30 touches instead of 18 to 20 or 18 to 25.
I reckon he can already do that. I think they play him forward because he's got that skill set and he's like a dusty type that can...
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
But you have to manage
his loads.
He gets
the hammy issues when he plays a lot.
Yeah,
he's a very intense player. Yeah.
No, I think the role that they have for him right now is actually pretty good, to be honest with you. I think just stick with that. Unless someone gets injured, you know, maybe give him a bit more time in there, like if Butters goes down or Rosie or whatever. But you've also got Wines and Drew. They've got a lot of depth in there. So you might as well, you know, diversify and have more friends.
So they persist with someone like a Jordan Sweet. Like, he gets a lot of taps, Jordan Sweet.
I like Jordan Sweet, to be honest with you. I think he's a pretty solid player. Especially as a low investment type player. You didn't give that much to get him. You know, you're probably not paying him a hell of a lot. I think you just run with that. Unless, you know, a South Australian ruck who's a gun in the league wants to come to you. But I can't even think. I don't think there's going to be too much ruck movement.
I don't think they'd give up on that after just 1 year. He's been good, like you said. Like,
yeah, I think he's very solid.
Fair enough. I guess that's enough Paul talk. I think they'll be fine, but oh well.
They'll be around it, but you're right. To take that next... Well, that's the hardest thing to do, is to take that next leap to be the elite team, right? So they're a good team. They've got a home ground advantage. They'll win games, but what's the piece that's missing for them to be able to take that leap? We don't know, and they don't know either.
Yeah, true. Well, at least, look, they won a final this year. Last year they didn't, you know what I mean? They won a final when they were up against it. They weren't the favourites, you know? Even though maybe in hindsight, maybe they should have been, you know, maybe. Look... Yeah, again, I don't want to talk about Port anymore. I'm sick of Hinkley.
I think we've been very generous.
Yeah, I think we have.
What about Hinkley's comments? Do you have anything to say about him?
What did he say?
Basically, he's taking the blame off himself, which is natural. Yeah. He's probably right. You can't just blame the coach.
Look, they know within the walls, if he set them up in a way to try and exploit Sydney and it failed, that is on him. But... if it was just, hey, we had our plan, we tried to stick to it, they were just better, you can't really blame the guy. I don't want to jump on board like a witch hunt to get anyone out of a job, but I do think there's something in the fact that they've been close but haven't even made a grand final. Because there's been plenty of teams that have made it and lost, and that's, you know, fair enough, that can happen. But, yeah, I don't know. I think they've had a good enough team to maybe do it once or twice, and they just haven't.
That's fair. Any concluding thoughts on Sydney? Vibes on there.
Maybe we'll talk about them a little bit more when we preview. But
yeah, I think that's fair.
Well done to them for putting the foot down. And crucially, they didn't start poorly.
Yeah, well, that's what I saw. Like when they had three goals, I think were they 3-1? I think in the first quarter, I'm just like, Port are no chance, man. Because the only chance you have to beat Sydney is when they have those bad starts. That just didn't happen.
Were you guys aware of how much of a bogey team Port Adelaide was for Sydney?
I wasn't until the pregame.
Yeah. I didn't know that they're not one since 2016 or something like that.
Crazy, man. That's crazy.
Especially when you consider...
That puts that 70-point half that happened at the end of this year into perspective. That's just what Port does to Sydney. But at least Sydney's kind of when it counts. found a way.
Huge for them.
Huge. 100%. That would give them heaps of confidence going into next week. But yeah, look, we'll move over to Geelong versus
what
Brisbane.
What a game, man.
Yeah, mate. Without further ado.
The Brisbane team shown way more character than I thought they had, to be honest. Like their whole final series, really. I mean, destroying Carlton, when really they could have given Carlton a sniff to start that game, and, you know, emotions and stress and panic could, you know, play a factor. But they didn't let that become a game. Then they go and do what they did last week against the Giants, which was insane. And then this week was just two teams giving it their all.
Yeah.
And like, what I loved about the game was the best of both teams. The players who were like the big moments players, like everyone did their thing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No one can walk off that field like, if only that guy played better. I think everyone had the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was interesting to see the two kind of styles, because highlighted before the game was like the uncontested marks of Brisbane and the turnover game of Geelong and how that kind of played out. Just the momentum shifts in this game is kind of like how the whole season really has been. You know, that's just what football is these days. Like 30-point leads just don't really mean much. Geelong was putting the foot down in the second quarter and like, wow, is this team going to do it again? But credit to Brisbane, they kind of hung in there. And then when at the end of the game, when Henry kicks that goal with 2 minutes left, you're like, wow, is Geelong going to do it well? Like, it's just crazy. How have they managed that? And then two of the craziest like goals, clutch goals, like they weren't easy Brisbane goals. That's like, throw it on the foot, Archie. Like, if you look at the replay, he grabs it and just smacks it on his foot straight away. How that went through. And then Rayner on his left foot outside 50.
Ridiculous.
It's not like they didn't earn those moments, yeah?
Now, let's be fair. You put Rayner on blast last week, right? But you know what? This week, man, he listened. You know, pass the shit on your favorite player. And someone's favorite player was Rayner, apparently.
Look, Rayner, there's no question on his talent, right? I just, you know, he's meant to be this kind of impact player, and he had 8 ranking points last week.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was a deserved to have him on blast.
And at halftime in this game, he hadn't had an impact, right? So let's get that straight.
But yeah, he kicked a couple of goals. He was instrumental. I also thought, like, Lachie Neale, I mean, 12 clearances. Yeah, no one was even close to him in the midfield battle. I was kind of made that comment during the game, like, Geelong's midfield was lining up, like, the game's on the line, right? Max Holmes is gone. His injury, I think, really impacted Geelong because he's their best midfielder and he has that burst. But you've got Jack Bowes and you've got who's the other midfielder for Geelong?
Atkins.
And Dangerfield was their 3 midfield.
Yeah.
And it's like, geez, is that a premiership midfield? Like, I know that's not all about the names and it's how you work together, but I didn't have a lot of faith when Neil is killing it and you've got Dunkley in there and all these type of players. So,
yeah.
I think Holmes really impacted the game in the first half, and then him going hurt. And then on the other side, you had McInerney popping his shoulder twice.
Yeah, poor bloke.
Feel for him.
And he's probably going to miss now, isn't he?
Yeah. So I feel like it's one of those things, you can pop it back in, you can pop the shoulder back in and still play with like a torn, you know, with torn ligaments. But if it's popped out twice, then there's no way it's not going to pop out a third time when you play, you know, next week.
The team can't possibly, because he can be out there and in the first bounce, it's like popped out again.
Exactly.
Like, there's no all point of a sudden, even wasting a sub on that. Like,
exactly. It's a shame.
That's terrible, man. He's a very consistent ruckman. He doesn't really miss games. He's a bit of a point of difference as a ruckman as well because of his height, his long arms.
Yeah, true.
Brisbane. But I thought Jared Danaher going in as a ruck actually gave him something. You don't want him in the ruck the whole game, though.
Yeah, they'll surely bring in Darcy Ford.
Yeah, I think
surely.
So. Yeah, no, he's a lucky man playing in the grand final.
Imagine, man. That'd be like a weird feeling, like how exciting, but you can't really show like too much excitement around the boys because like one of them's gone down. You know,
I've always been interested in that dynamic because like the 44 man is the team, the squad, team mentality, but you're still competing against your mates to get into the team, right?
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting kind of dynamic for coaches to manage and for even players and friendships to manage. So imagine like we're all in the team, we're best mates, and then I miss out because of an injury and Matt subs in and it's like, you know what I mean? That's crazy.
I think that's
tough, man. I would be happy for you, but I'd also be probably not happy at the same time. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because in soccer, everyone gets a medal.
I was actually ranting about this last night. You guys, wasn't hanging around with you guys, but it is ridiculous how only the players that play get the medal. I think they should get the like a slightly different medal for playing.
Maybe,
and then the whole squad, coaches and everyone, should get a medal.
Do you agree? Even players that haven't played a game this season?
Squad medal, yeah. A squad medal.
Everyone in soccer gets it. Everyone. Everyone. Like, and it's good because then all the people, you know, all the, you know, those players can G it up, you know, that bit extra.
Well, Oscar McInerney should be able to look back when he's 50 years old and say, I was in the squad that won the premiership. I didn't play, but here's my squad medal. Mm.
And I got, look, let's be fair. He was, you know.
It's ridiculous. There's no real like a conversation in my own. But
yeah. No, but at least tradition. It is what it is. I think it would be harsh for players in previous years if they changed it now. I think that's the part where you're just kind of like, okay, sorry, Taylor Adams. Sorry, this guy.
Well, the thing is, you don't even need to make a big thing of it. Just they can get sent it a week later for all I care. Like they should have something like something to remember.
Yeah,
that they're part of that squad.
I was gonna say maybe they do it just because of the ceremony to be too long, calling out every player
on the field.
Players that no one's even heard of.
Yeah,
category B rookie.
Yeah. Shadow brain.
Yeah. On the field, to be clear, the post game stuff doesn't change. It's just at some point. In the next week or two,
they get a medal.
Give Oscar McInerney and co a medal.
Yeah,
for being
in
the squad at least.
Mm. I agree.
It just makes no sense. Mm. Anyway,
do you guys remember who gave their medal? Was it the
Bob Murphy?
Yeah. Was it Bevo? Bevo. Yeah. That's one moment.
That was cringe.
You reckon?
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
I loved it.
The thing is Bevo still knows he's still the premiership coach, whether he's got a medal or not. He's still got one.
But that doesn't.
And Bob Murphy still isn't a premiership player.
Yeah, I don't mean cringe in like bad gesture or like. I respect the gesture, but it shouldn't never have needed to be a gesture.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree on that. But no, he
had a great year, though.
Yeah, right? He did. He was a very inspirational leader.
Yeah.
Everyone loved Bob Murphy at that time. He was one of the most loved players in the AFL, especially when he changed his name to Bob. You know what I mean? Do you remember that? The changing? You know, there's been certain name changes. He's done it. Willie Rioli changed to Junior Rioli. What was the other
Brian
one?
Lake.
Brian Lake Brian from Brian Morris? Brian. Was it Harris? Brian Harris.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
In AFL, my Xbox game, AFL Live 2004, there was a certain Brian, what did you say, Harris?
Or Harris, yeah. Harris, 100%.
Fullback.
What is he, like a rapper or something? He changed his stage name?
Yeah. I think he took his mother's maiden name or something.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So, yeah, it was one of those ones.
Anyway, back to the game. I wanted to comment on Brisbane. We were talking earlier about the forwards, right? Danaher, 0 goals, 0, right? These other small forwards who, at their scariest best last year, would be no surprise. But this year, let's be honest, like your Camerons and Baileys haven't really been to their best.
And Bailey tried to take it on a lot and he got caught multiple times.
I've never seen a game
where he's been caught that much.
Yeah. So like low moments are plenty, but also some excellent moments. Mm. So he's kicked 2, Rayner 2, Cameron 2, Archie 3, and then Morris 2. Low key, he's just been there kicking goals.
He's a great little player.
So I think they need to do that exact thing next week. I can't see Danaher kicking 3 or 4. They need these guys to do what they do for one more game.
And they're capable of it.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
But then you don't know. Maybe Danaher steps it up the next game. You know what I mean? Because he's that type of player. He showed it in, you know, the semi-final.
Most grand finals, though, I think... Because there's so many of these guys, you can't stop them all. And it's their ground ball gets there. You can't really coach stopping that. But you can coach stopping Danaher.
That's true.
I think that's why that happens. Mm. And it happened with Geelong too. I mean, small forwards having such an influence too. Mm. What was his... the guy that kicked 4. Gone blank.
Henry.
Man, what a coming out party for him, man. That's insane. Like... I don't think he's ever played that good in his whole life.
No, it's a brilliant performance, but Graham Myers was just as good. Brad Close plays his role. Is it the Graham Myers Messi kick?
Oh,
That was 3 soccer passes for goal.
That was gorgeous, man. That was gorgeous. Finally, we can, you know, justify the Messi thing. Because I actually hated the Messi thing, to be honest with you.
Fake tweet.
Yeah, now the fair. Because you know what it is? It's like the comparison of, you know, the GOAT. Like Messi's the GOAT to Graham Myers, who's like, you know, he's a solid player, but he might be at best a 1 or 2-time All Australian type guy. You know, it's kind of weird, but I kind of get the aura of it. You know what I mean?
It was a piss take, yeah?
Was it a fake?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was a fake account. He didn't actually believe that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes me feel better about it.
You think Gerard Whiteley's like, you know what? Yeah. That guy's Messi. Not Dustin Martin or anything like that. Graham Myers. Yeah, that's fake. That's a fake thing, man.
Bro, my for the Spotify viewers, I did like the explosion.
And that's why the comment was like, on the video when it was posted on Instagram, that clip, the comment was like, Gerard Whateley's a prophet. Like he saw it coming.
Oh man, that's funny. Crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, he kicked another goal from the right side of the boundary as well that somewhere went through. Mm. Like Geelong started really strong. Mm. They didn't take the opportunities. I think they kicked the first 4 points or something like that.
Yep.
And, you know, if they had a couple of those had gone through, different tone, especially because of their power in the second quarter as well. But they did still kick some really clutch goals as well. So, yeah,
and Brisbane missed a few chances too. Like Bailey,
which they always do.
Bailey running into the goal from like 30 out misses, and there was a couple others. So I think it was a very even game.
Yeah.
Excellent game of footy. And then, yeah, man, what about at the end? Is there anything on the injury report about Reece Stanley? Because
I haven't paid attention.
Clutching at his leg, he better be injured because there was a chance to still win that game if he kicks that. There's bit under 30 seconds.
Man, I wish he kicked that.
He should have.
So much more fun.
Yeah, that was an easy kick, man. Come on, man.
Look, I think the only justification I give him is that he's so under pressure with time. He's not going through his routine. He's not getting his mind straight. That's the only thing I can say.
Yeah. Look, I actually have a little bit of a theory of like, because I was talking about this with my dad, because I watched the start of the game with my dad.
And your dad, and who
famous, what do you reckon he said?
Your dad famously says every game of footy. Yeah. Players these days can't kick like they used to.
They're great athletes. but they can't kick. They can't. Yeah. Look, I was thinking about it. I'm trying to figure out a way. Like, why is the kicking bad? And I think with the kicking a footy, the mechanics, the body mechanics of kicking a footy is so unnatural. Like, I think it's a very unnatural thing. You know, maybe because we've grown up with it, it's not too bad, right? But I think it's a very foreign thing for the body to do that. Soccer, a little bit different. And like, say, for example, basketball, you try to do post moves in basketball.
Strange.
It is the most unnatural thing in the world. I think that's what the thing is with footy. It's unnatural. And then you add that with the running and the pressure on your body and the like rising heart rate and the dropping of heart rate and this and that. All of a sudden, man, the simple thing of kicking a footy is very difficult. Well, back in those days, they didn't run as hard. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the guys who had the best kicks were the forwards who just sat forward all day and made sure they got the mark. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. I agree with you. Mm. But in that moment, the reason I bring up his injury is because he did clutch at the leg as soon as he missed it imply that that's why he missed it.
Yeah, no.
If he's not on the injury report today, I want to just revisit this and ask him the question, like, what the hell happened there?
Look, Dean, there's nowhere to hide when 93,000 people are watching you miss a goal on 10 metres out to keep him in the game. There's nowhere to hide.
I was listening to the Triple M commentary because I was driving at the time, and like, you can imagine JB and like Brian Taylor's reaction to that. I'm not going to even
attempt it.
Oh, he's missed it. He's missed it. What has he done? What has he done?
I actually think that he spent, even though he didn't look like he rushed it, I still felt like he took too long as well.
Yeah, true.
Just plonk it on the boot and move on, mate. Mm.
Nah.
You could kick that behind your head and go see.
No excuses, man. Like, if he kicks that, there's a centre clearance, which, to your point earlier, it's still going to be Danger, Bose, Atkins, or a combination of that. Versus chance, Dunkley, man. Neil,
McLuggage. Yeah, anyone's a chance, though.
And
Ashcroft, whatever. Oh, man,
but with no ruckman, probably what you would expect in that would be some congestion. And like, I still think Brisbane would have won, but it's not a guarantee.
No, you got 30 seconds to make something happen.
Yeah.
It's doable. You got the forward half players to make it happen. But look, credit to Geelong. I mean, they didn't make the finals last year. We didn't exactly know what they were going to come up and do. They've made a prelim. They've just lost by a goal, whatever it was.
They're going to get Bailey Smith this year.
They're going to get Bailey Smith. They find a way to find players like Ollie Dempsey, Rising
Lawson
Star.
Lawson Humphreys.
Where did he come from?
Yeah.
Like, they're just an organisation that just can't fail.
And like, to be fair, I think if they were to look at themselves and reflect now, I don't think they think they're like the team yet, but they've actually got, you can tell, like a vision now of the next generation of their list. Whereas next year, people take them very seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, so there's building blocks there. Like, there's dudes, even like, say, Jai Clark, for example, who played a few games this season. He actually had some really good games. There's another one who could be, you know, the Dangerfield, perhaps his successor down the line. You know, just another, or maybe Tom Atkins' successor, or who else? Who's the other one they were saying? Bose, you know what I mean? He could be replacing one of those two guys and, you know, provide a bit more class than what those guys already do. Yeah. There's something there. There is something there.
Yeah, I thought even like someone like Zach Guthrie kind of announced himself a little bit this year.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
played a pretty strong role. He even played a good game as well.
And they're probably going to get, or maybe Bailey Smith, who we don't know what he'll be like post ACL, but
he'll be just fine, man.
He's a speedy burst player. I don't think Bailey Smith's class with the football has ever been his main attribute.
Yeah.
But
it's funny because he's actually one of those players I actually like hate watching him sometimes. Because I feel like he just gets the ball, runs as fast as he can for about 5-10 meters, and then smacks it.
He's a headless chook.
Yeah, he's headless chook footballer, which I think would be good if, you know, if you're in the center, if he's actually playing, you know, inside midfield.
Which you will.
It's good, yeah. You know, but sometimes, oh gosh, I can't stand watching him play.
He'll add a dynamic to midfield. If you've got Holmes and you've got Bradley, he may not.
Just where do you reckon he's going to go to?
There's a couple other teams still in the running.
Hawthorne and Collingwood are the other ones, right?
Well, look, we've been seeing photos with him and Nicky Dakes.
And Charlie Curnow,
for that matter, you know. So who knows, man.
Carlton's getting Dacos.
And Bailey Smith.
Yeah, and Bailey Smith. I don't want Bailey Smith, man.
I feel like you're a Bailey Smith man.
Doesn't want Smith, doesn't want Houston. Do you want to get better or not? Jeez, what do you want? Damn it, Jordan.
I want small forwards.
I've said it. I've actually been very consistent in my message.
That is true. Like, how about Constanti? You know Constanti?
Constanti.
He was Constantino.
He was a pick 20 for Sydney, a small forward. Hasn't had opportunity to play for him. I don't know, man. Maybe Constanti.
If Sydney drafted him, they'll take him.
Yeah, true.
Here's how you know if he's good or not. If Sydney lets you have him, he's no good.
No, never mind.
You're right.
Like we got Dylan Stevens.
Yeah, true.
That's right.
Well, Dylan Stevens was a pick 5 or 6.
That's the thing that's crazy. How did they pick him that high? I need to look at that draft and see.
Here's the thing. They recognize, you know what? We reached. He's not that good. Mm-hmm. TR North, you can have him.
Mm. Look, I hope you prove us wrong, Dylan Stevens. Prove us wrong.
No, buddy. I don't really dislike Dylan Stevens, but he's not a pick 5. Anyway. Let's talk about the big game next week, right? So, bit of a question without notice, but not really a surprising question, is what do you think the story of the game will be when it's all said and done? And the prediction.
I think the story is going to be Swans too good like they've been all year. I think they're just going to make it happen. They've been the best team for the whole season. They just have. And they've had a clean run, right? They've won the games that they needed to win. They've had breaks in between. Lions have had to do it the hard way. What's the toll on your body? Right, there's no one like Logan McDonald's the only one under the injury cloud, but their main players are fit and firing, refreshed, ready to go. I just don't see why Sydney doesn't win this game.
What's a points prediction specifically?
Points. Look, I think it'll be close because it's a grand final. I don't think it'll be a crazy blowout. Maybe 15 to 20 points.
Okay.
Specifically?
17.
Ooh, I like that.
17.5.
All right. I'm going to go
23 points
for Sydney.
Okay.
Right. You know. To be honest with you, I wouldn't mind if either team won, to be honest with you.
Neither would I. I'd actually probably prefer the Lions, to be honest.
Yeah. You know what? Me as well, almost a little bit, to be honest with you. But I don't know. Something's telling me this year it's a guy who's going to announce himself. Like, I feel like there's always a dude who brings a lot of hype to himself having a good grand final performance. Last year was Bobby Hill. Like, he had a good season, but let's be fair, when he really announced himself on the grand final, I reckon this year it's going to be a Marty.
Hey,
ooh, interesting.
I'm going to go 4 goals with the Marty. I don't think he's going to win the Norm Smith because they'll give it to Heaney. You know,
we'll do Norm Smith in a sec.
Yeah, but... no, we. I'm sorry, I've jumped the gun a bit.
No, all right.
But look, so... I'm thinking the party is the party. the story party. Is the Marty party.
Marty party is
finally arrived.
I like it. So 23 points. Okay. Yep. I think I really want to tip Brisbane. I want to say that first because I really respect the team that lost the grand final to a very good Collingwood team and then had a really rough start to the year and has made it again.
Yep.
So, and with some key injuries in defense, like Coleman and what's his name from Adelaide?
Duday.
So it hasn't been ideal for them, right?
And Lincoln McCarthy as well.
Lincoln McCarthy. So the fact that they've made it.
You're starting to make me rethink this Amati thing because they have Jack Payne and Harris Andrews and Lester. They're all very, like, I know there's a bit of a random one, but they're all good intercept sort of players.
Yeah. Hey, Lester played a great game.
Yeah, he's
Payne excellent. Not as much. He didn't play as well.
Yeah. He had that tackle right at the end of the game. But like, it's just that they're really good players. I'll stick to the Amati thing there because it sounds vital.
You know what? Just because I want to see it, I want to see Brisbane win, so I'm going to tip him by 4 points. Like, ooh, really close game.
That'd be better than a 23 point.
Yeah, I want it to be a draw.
I think
extra time. The first ever extra time.
And then extra time and it's a draw again.
Oh,
I want them to be like out there for like 5 hours playing football.
Could you imagine the epic? It's like when you're watching it like...
And then I want a storm where they have to delay the game for 40 minutes. And I want one of the MCG lights to light on fire.
You just want to watch Wimbledon, basically.
And then Djokovic comes out for not the halftime entertainment, but the fifth time entertainment.
Bro, you don't even want a game of footy. You just want like a Marvel movie or something.
Yeah, Iron Man comes back from the dead.
And then they play again next week, Endgame.
Yeah,
and that's it, Endgame.
But no, I'm going to go Brisbane 4 points. I do think Sydney will start slow again. Ooh. I know it's a grand final.
Well, Sydney's the slower starting team and Lions are the fastest first quarter.
I'm going to roll with that. That's actually happening one more time. I'll go Brisbane gets off to a hot start, but only gets it to about, say, 20 points. Sydney wrestles it back at some point, and then that's sort of the...
Yeah.
Basically a similar game to last night.
I can see that.
And I think Brisbane will do it again.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling. And I do want to just say, my eyes are thankful that I get to see a different grand final. I was really not wanting to see Sydney Geelong again.
Fair.
For the vibe and the aesthetic, very happy with this result.
Yeah. Well, they haven't played each other in a grand final since 1899, is it?
Correct. My eyes are thankful for that. I'm really happy to see that.
I've got
to
say one thing, because we're based in Melbourne. It does suck that there's no Victorian team in there because of the vibes. But in saying that, both are former Victorian clubs, South Melbourne and Fitzroy.
And South Melbourne.
So, you know, hopefully there's still some vibes.
I think there will be.
Yeah, you know. And I guess maybe, you know what, maybe it's better because we're going to have, some travellers, left some tourists. Get a bit more, more people around.
To be fair as well, like Geelong doesn't feel like one of the big Melbourne teams because they're not. They're in Victoria. They're not in Melbourne. So the buzz in urban Melbourne isn't going to be the same regardless. So I think to that point, the Fitzroy roots and the South Melbourne roots is pretty big as well. So, all right. What about, you mentioned Norm Smith before. Who's your normie vote?
Look. Can we have a Heaney and non-Heaney vote? Like, is that how we're going
to
do this?
You've tipped Sydney to win, so...
If he steps foot over the boundary line and he's not injured before the game, he wins the Norm Smith. That's just...
Whether Sydney wins or not, so say Brisbane wins by 4 points, do you think he's still... Is your bet?
No. That's not Sydney.
So with your prediction of Sydney winning, just to be clear...
So I guess we go one player each, one player for each team.
If you're so confident on Heaney...
Yeah.
Yeah, go one on each team in case either...
And the non-Heaney.
And if you want a non-Heaney, I'm not going to do that, but you can do it if you want.
I'm going to go with Nick Blakey.
Oh,
okay.
Because I think Sydney will win. He's a high-profile player. If he gets his 25 possessions, a goal, and he's got a high meters gained, he could give it. You can get it.
Lizard. I like it. Yeah. But Heaney number one.
Yeah.
Blakey number two.
Heaney's the boring one, but like...
What about if Brisbane... Sorry to interrupt you. What about if Brisbane somehow wins very comfortably? Obviously, someone will win from there. Yeah. If it was the Brisbane one, who would you go?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Who would I go? I'd probably go a small forward. I reckon for them to win, you'd need a Bobby Hill type of situation where Bailey kicks 4 goals or like that.
You are a Zach Bailey man.
And he's one of my favourite players, so I'm going to go him.
Okay, I like
it. Wow, I'm surprised you didn't go for another one of your favourites. McCluggage, right?
Oh, Huey.
Ooh. Come on, man. Your boy.
Huey's an understated player. Like he doesn't get votes. But he could definitely win it.
He could win an Norm Smith.
Yeah, because he's a dude who could randomly have 25 and a couple goals as well and high impact. So, look, my little bit of a pod, I think, I'm going to go with my non-Sydney first, right? And it'll be the first since Madden, Ruckman to get a Norm Smith, and it'll be Grundy. Right.
Oh.
But the thing is, we're discussing this a little bit earlier. He needs a goal or two, and he needs like a couple contested marks, that like a game breaking contested marks.
So that's, you think he'll have a great game in the absence of a McInerney?
Yeah, and I think the reason for that is just because I'm not a huge Darcy Fort follower or enjoyer. I don't really know much about the guy. Like, look, I've watched him play, and I think he's actually a half decent forward. To be honest, I think he's a better forward than his ruck. Can he run with Grundy like that? Probably not.
Big ask. Yeah,
big ask. My Brisbane pick though, right? I don't know if you guys remember my pick last year. Harris Andrews.
I didn't remember that, but okay.
Yeah. For some reason I said Harris Andrews and that was dumb, but I'm going to back it in. I'm going to go Harris Andrews.
Look, if you're going a Marty party, then that means Harris Andrews ain't winning it.
Yeah, but this is my Brisbane pick.
If Brisbane win.
Yeah.
You know.
So Matt is saying the Amati and Andrews matchup is the... That's the game.
That's all I'm watching. I'm I don't care about the rest, man.
Man, I like
I'm going to be in the grand final with binoculars. What's a Marty and, you know. And
Matt Matzel. Big meaty man bumping meat Matzel. For those of you that don't know that reference.
Yeah, Big E.
WWE Big E reference there. Search it up.
That's good.
Big meaty man bumping
meat. We'll show you later, Georgie.
All right, I'll go mine.
Any WWE reference from Dean is hilarious because if anyone is privileged to see the footage of him going crazy, Dean's like a a chill kind of bloke, I feel like. But when it comes to some of these sports, he goes crazy.
I love wrestling. Yeah. MCW, baby.
Bury him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just, you know what? I feel bad without giving context on this because probably no one's going to actually search that up. So for context on that reference I just made.
Yeah.
A wrestler who's a big boy referenced that, like, when you're a kid, when you're older, you kind of like appreciate wrestling for the technicality and whatever. But when you're a kid, you just want to see the big men bumping meat. That's how he worded it. Very funny.
Yeah, it is. It is
like
funny.
The biggest, muscliest guys just slamming each other.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That is what you want to see. You want to see big Goldberg. You want to see, Batista, Triple H back in the day, those big.
Now you want to see, like, you know, the technical guys. Anyway.
Yeah. Now I want to see little masked men flying around. You know,
so
anyway.
Funny. Anyways, all right, my one. So I've tipped Brisbane, so I'll say I don't mind the McLuggage shout. I will boringly go nil. I think he's a shoe in. If I go non-nil, I'm inclined to pick a forward, and I reckon maybe like a Kai Loman, boys.
Oh,
how crazy would
he's
that
had
be?
A great year.
Look, with someone we should have mentioned him when we were talking about the game. He had a couple lovely marks.
He was great.
He's actually my dad's boy. So not only does my dad, you know, hate the kicking of forwards and, you know, thinks that they're great athletes. Kai Loman is his guy. You know, he said, "Who's the blonde one, number one?" I'm like,
"The one that looks like a lion, Ashcroft." Yeah. No, the other one.
When I realized he was talking about Loman, I'm like, "Yeah, game recognizes game." Like he knew, you know. I'm like, I respect that.
Yeah,
I'll go for the Cobra Kai. Yeah, Kai Loman.
Yeah, I like that. You know, honestly, the other one that I kind of want to give a little, you know, honorable mention to is Ashcroft. To be honest with you, you floated his name out there.
Mm.
I feel like he's the type of dude who just. When he gets his possessions, he makes them count and he, you know, gets those. We're talking about it, not for this game, but the previous game, just the fact that he gets goal assists as well. And, you know, I think he can probably get on the scoreboard as well.
Well, the other one is like a bit of a fairy tale story is Zorko. He's been amazing all year, right? He just had an incredible final.
You might make me change my vote, actually.
Mm.
Zorko, I like the halfback drive. That's why I went Blakey.
Mm.
Zorko is their opposition.
I'll stick with Loman, but that's an excellent shout as well.
Yeah. Something that I thought, right, this is a bit off topic. I can't speak. But when, what's his name? Kadeen Coleman comes back next year, right? All of a sudden you have him, you have Zorko, and you have Wilmot as these driving, quick, small halfbacks. Can they all coexist back there?
Well, look, the thing is Zorko only has, like, he's had an amazing year, but he's 35. Like,
do you reckon he can't back this up next year? How are you going to drop off that bat?
I think he can.
Age, man. Like one injury, that's all it takes, dude. One hammy.
Fair enough.
Coleman and Wilmot will have to be a bit more defensive minded and just leave their man sooner because Zorko's not locking anyone down.
But I think with respect to what Zorko's doing, you can't all of a sudden say, all right, back to the half forward.
No way. No, like,
He's been that good, man. He's excellent.
Yeah, he's been amazing.
Unless he actually does drop off. But if he doesn't, you just keep him doing this exact same thing.
Yeah, look, good problem to have at the, you know, next year when Coleman comes back.
Absolutely.
You can't have enough good ball users, man. And that's one thing that Zorko does well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, if Sydney was to win, I'm going to go Goulden.
Yeah,
for sure. I think he runs all day and you can just see him kicking a goal from 50 at some point. And, you know, that's very eye-catching stuff. So,
Who does he match up on for Brisbane, like as the wingman battle?
Jasper Fletcher might try to lock him down.
Oh, actually, Berry as well.
Berry might try to lock him down.
That'd actually be really interesting.
He's been good this final series as well.
Yeah, that's actually Berry versus Goulden, likely. That's a really good matchup.
So, yeah, that's a couple there. What about first goal? That's always an interesting one.
Well, look, staying on brand, Amari.
Amari. It's going to get the party started.
I think let's go first goal Brisbane, fast starters. And I think we're pulling out the motorbike with Charlie Cameron, mate.
Ooh.
And I'm very thankful that there's no more finals at the Gabba because watching Brisbane and those country roads. Please, man, stop that.
It's just better without it.
Please stop that. It's actually very hard to watch.
I bet you midweek they're going to be like, as a special, you know, as a special little, you know, presentation.
Who's doing the halftime show?
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, can she sing that song?
It's pregame, isn't it? Or is it halftime?
I don't know. Surely it's halftime.
Don't they always do pregame? And then it just starts and that's it. There's no halftime entertainment, is there?
No, there's halftime, bro.
Is there?
Yeah.
I thought it was always pregame.
Maybe both.
Man. Oh, anyway, whatever.
Yeah, but Katy Perry's
going to is she going to, not that I care at all, I'm not a fan, but do you think the media will love what she does or hate?
I think she'll be right.
You think she'll be right?
Yeah, nah. Look.
Pretty uncontroversial type of figure.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Look, nowadays, I feel like back in the days it was, you know, back when like, you know, being a bit more raunchy was, you know, a bit more, you know, it wasn't as, it was a bit more frowned upon. Like you look at it and be like, what's going on here?
Yeah, but it's not like she, like she's a star, right?
Yeah.
Like she's got a good song. She'll play the songs and that's it. It's not like a just a random indie band or something that they couldn't find.
Nah, true. Nah, look, yeah, you're right. She'll get positive reviews unless she sings poorly, but can't really say that happening. Mm. But okay. These people are professionals.
Fair, fair.
You know?
She's not all professionals.
Yeah, you know, yeah, she's not washed like, you know what, like meaty. You know, Meatloaf back in the day.
Do you reckon she'll sing Swish Swish Bish?
What did you just say, bro? I don't know. I don't know.
That's her song. Swish, swish, bish.
The only song I really like.
I actually don't know. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll take your word for it. Though.
Yeah, look, if you can play Teenage Dream, cool. You know, that song I like.
California Girls.
Yeah, just Teenage Dream. That's the only song. Raw. I like.
What's the MasterChef song, Hot and Cold?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bro, she's got a few bangers, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's easy, man.
Yeah.
You got to get like Matt Preston on stage during during Hot and Cold.
He starts dancing.
George Calamaris.
Yeah, he's
start cooking.
Yeah, that's it. 11 out of 10 performance, you know.
Oh, God. All right, back to the first goal. I'll also go Brisbane because I've tipped the hot start. I'll go McLuggage.
Oh,
Huey.
I'll go Huey.
He just sneaks forward.
He likes a little goal.
I think it'll take a while for that first goal to come, and I think it'll be a midfielder.
I reckon McLuggage first point.
Oh, let's go
can
first.
Can you bet on that? Can you bet on that?
Can bet,
you
on,
bet
anything,
on anything, bro.
Oh, bro.
Man, in the I think it's the NFL. They disabled betting on what color Gatorade will get thrown on the winning coach because there was someone giving away intel and like there was an actual market on it.
Whoa!
So like, so is it going to be orange, red, blue? What is it?
That's crazy.
So they disabled that, rightfully so. But if Chris Fagan's going to get Gatorade showered, what color is the Gatorade?
I feel like Gatorade is the sponsor. It's not Powerade.
Is it? Or whichever.
Yeah, I think it's Gatorade. Yeah. Oh, it's got to be the old-fashioned orange. You know what
you
I mean?
Orange?
Yeah, I reckon, my guess is that do they use the mix?
Got no
idea. I reckon they use the mix and they like, they, you know what I mean?
I reckon Fags
and it's always orange.
Drenched in the red Gatorade.
Red Gatorade.
I'll go red.
Right. I think he's due for a flag, this guy.
Fakes, yeah.
He's a wholesome bloke.
He's a wholesome bloke. Yeah, that photo with him and Joe Danaher, like literally is one of the that is one of the best photos. Like
I'd be surprised if that's not your screensaver, dude.
Hey, then don't look at my phone, man.
All right.
Yeah, I might have to, that's actually not a bad idea. I'm not gonna lie. Look, sorry Sheasel. I love you and all, but you know. Nah, Sheasel stays.
He stays forever.
Yep, 100%.
All right. Anything else to predict?
Brownlow.
Oh shit! Yeah,
but we didn't talk. Bro. Wait,
is there any more AFL grand final?
Any more grand final stuff?
Is the grand? Wait, Brownlow's tomorrow.
Brownlow's tomorrow night. Man. Yeah,
who's commentating the grand final?
I'm back here tomorrow night.
Is it BT
commentating? I got no idea.
Is BT going to say something stupid?
Yes.
Yes.
He's but hey, everyone bags out BT when it's a close game. He's quality to listen to.
Who else do you want to hear, man? You know, especially just because he can't contain himself.
I know.
He cannot contain himself.
Anyone that slags him off, I get it when there's like a 40-point margin and he's acting like there's a chance for a team to come back with 5 minutes to go. He sucks at that.
Yeah.
But when it's a close game, there's no better man you want commentating, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you, man.
I can imagine him saying, "Dada from the center square, from the center square."
I hope there's another one like that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, let's go Brownlow then.
Yeah, Brownlow. Look,
I've been strong all year. It's Cripps or Dacos, and I think it's Cripps.
Mm.
I know I'm a Carlton supporter, but he gets votes. Mm. No one else is really taking votes from him in the midfield, and been very consistent.
Mm. I think the person who's going to compete with him this year, like Dacos will compete with him, Neil as well. I know, like, you know, it was a bit of a shock when he won it. But this year, I think he's been almost better than
Do you think so? Like, Supercoach-wise, he had a really bad, like, slow start to the season, didn't he?
Yeah, but they'll give him votes.
They'll give him votes anyway.
I'm on Matt's. I'm not going to predict Neil, but I think the fact that he's already won two shows that whatever he does out there, they like it and they notice it.
Yeah, and I think because he does, there's a couple little things that he'll do a game where he'll just sort of dance around. You know, he uses those quick feet and you just kind of, it's eye-catching. You know what I mean? Even though, like, Paddy Cripps does the big boy, you know, contested stuff.
I think that big boy stuff is what. So if you look at the Sportsbet Brownlow medal, Cripps is favorite $250, Dacos $275, then Neil $8, Bont $13, Merritt $34.
I'll go Dacos because let's not forget he would have won it last year had it not been for the injury.
True. No, that's fair. That's fair.
I'll go him this year. I think he will be a worthy winner.
Yeah, without
what about if there was someone not in that top three or four?
Well,
money back
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They've got Butters ninth. I reckon Butters is.
He's just smoky.
I reckon he's him or Treloar. I think are in there.
I don't know about Treloar, but another interesting one was Noah Anderson. whenever they play at home and they win, he gets 150 Supercoach for some
reason. That's true.
You know what I mean? So that could be that if they had what, six, seven, how many wins do they have? Six, seven, eight? If that's two or three votes in each of those, all of a sudden he's in the 20 plus range. You know what I mean?
So I think Rau started really well as well. Flanders had a pretty consistent season, but I don't see any of those guys. It would be refreshing not to see like an Oliver or Petrarca up there this year.
True. That's weird. That's
I think Merritt's had a pretty good season. Bont's a superstar, but when he rests forward, they kill him. Like if you want him to get a Brownlow medal, you play midfield the whole year, he gets it.
I don't mind the Treloar shout as a Smoky, to be honest.
Man, the guy's had, how many times did he get 40 possessions, dude? You can't ignore that.
True. If Bont doesn't win it this year and he never wins a Brownlow, is he the best player of all time without a Brownlow?
You'd be one of them. Pendlebury doesn't have a Brownlow either.
Yeah, interesting. I think, you know, Wayne Carey doesn't have a Brownlow. There is a few decent
but
players.
He's a forward though.
Yeah, true. And he's a midfield as well. But then I feel like, what's it called? There's been a few forwards back in the day.
Back then, they used to give them more credibility in it.
Like, was it McKernan? He would have won one.
Yep. Chris Grant won one.
Chris Grant. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Was he playing forward at the time though, Chris Grant? Or was he a defender? Because I know he was a swing man.
He was a forward.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to research that. But anyway.
Look, at the end of the day, it is the umpires. And usually they just like the clearance, the hard ball get. So I think, it lends itself to a cripper. But then also, a Dacos will always poll well because those class players do get recognized as well. Yeah. So
does someone like a Zorko manage to get like a 15 to 20 votes, maybe even a 25er? Because he had a really good
25 is a lot of votes. 15, I think 15 is doable, yeah.
Yeah, because he impacted games quite a bit and they're always looking for him and he's always kicking it long as well, you know what I mean? Like he's not just, doing small chip kicks. He's biting off more than he can chew a lot of the times. Sometimes he can chew it, you know, so.
What do you think Heaney will actually finish? Because he's going to be off, he's going to be winning. Midpoint of the year, he's a clear winner.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
I think he'll finish third or fourth.
I reckon he's either one or two.
You think he might actually win it?
Yeah. He's a gun, bro.
I hope he doesn't win it. I hope he doesn't win it because I reckon that's shit for the winner, shit for him.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think second half of the year, he's going to have a massive lead, then the suspension.
Yeah.
And then I think they'll catch him.
He dropped off after there for sure. Yeah. Along with the Sydney slump, he kind of slumped as well.
Yeah. I think he will get overtaken by the your Crips and your Dacos.
But if he wins a flag and a Norm Smith, he's had an unbelievable year.
Should have had Mark of the Year as well.
Yeah.
Without Mark in the
there's not much more qualifying. You can do.
Yeah, no, legit. It's almost like it could have been the most perfect season of all time.
Yeah.
It could have been.
It could have been like a Dustin Martin 2017 type thing.
Yeah.
But the thing about Heaney is like he didn't win the coach's vote just even though like Cripps and Dacos pulled like really high numbers right to beat him out. He's not going to win the Brownlow, but you know, and he's not all Australian captain or anything like that, but if you factored in these two finals he's played on the overall season, I'd still put him as the best player in the comp at the moment.
Yeah. If they did like in the NBA style MVP where it's just like voted by media people and this and that, he'd be up there.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't voted the best player by his peers. Bont was. But man, like the finals is reputation, right? And we'll see what happens.
Yep. Very good, boys. Is that about it for today?
Yeah, no. That was, I'm pretty happy with that.
We'll do a pod afternoon of grand final day, most likely.
Yeah, I reckon. Saturday night. Yeah.
Should be out Sunday, I'd say.
Yeah, I reckon, Sunday. Because my thinking now is like, you know, there's going to be all these Brisbane and Sydney people floating around the city. Might as well hang out with them and, you know. Because, mate, grand final night for going out is really good. And it's actually a nice day. I think it's 23 and sunny that day.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got to, you know, make the most of it. Enjoy the night out. Georgie, are you going to do a night out or not? Because Georgie's not.
Depends on the winner.
Oh, okay. What would sway you going out?
No comment.
I reckon George.
He's just going to be like, Brisbane wins. If Sydney won, I would have gone out. You know, he's going to do that. I know you do.
I reckon if Brizzy wins, you got to hit up Fitzroy for sure.
True. That's facts.
But is it though? Because when Collingwood won, Swan Street was crazy, but Collingwood was dead. Oh. Remember that last year?
It's close enough.
I thought it was, but Swan Street is Collingwood, bro.
No, Swan Street's Richmond.
It's across the road.
But it kind of, don't they? Oh, no, I'm thinking something different.
Went past Smith Street and it was like, you know, there was tumbleweed, bro. Swan Street, they had like the broken down van, whatever it was, and it was
Naturally, anywhere near the G is going to be packed.
True. You know, that makes sense. That
but
makes sense.
Specifically, I reckon a vibe would be a bar in Fitzroy.
Mm.
If Brisbane wins, you put on a Brisbane scarf, you go, I kneel, yeah, and just get in
mate,
there.
How good is Ashcroft? Then we're getting another one next year.
You know?
Don't start me on that.
Bro, the thing is,
I'm 6 foot and there's two of me, man.
Yeah.
The thing I will say is that because we're like such close like AFL fans, we could fake being any team's fan because we know enough about them. We know more than the average, you know.
If anyone sees Mata in Fitzroy with a Brisbane scarf on.
Take a photo and send it to
take
us.
Take a photo. Or a Sydney one for that matter.
Yeah, no, nah, legit. Look, to be honest with you, if I was really like, you know, manipulative kind of guy, that would be my trick every year. But I'm not like that. You know what
Mata's
I mean?
Mata's going like, into a South Melbourne pub like, Amari party,
Amari party, baby. I love him. You know, like I really, honestly, like think about it. Think about it, bro. That could be my superpower every year.
It'd be fun, but like, you couldn't do it for Collingwood. You'd gag.
No.
Or Essendon, you couldn't do it.
Nah, I agree.
Essendon wins a final. Close the shutters. Close the shutters.
Good one.
Oh, sorry.
You could have used any other example.
Nah, if anyone says that they can't do stand-up comedy, that's your first joke.
Yeah. there we go. All right. Anyway, that was fun, boys. We'll see you guys on the next episode.
Enjoy the week. Jeez. Enjoy the day off if you're in Victoria.
Enjoy the Brownlow. Enjoy the grand final.
Talk soon. See you then.
Dangerfield blasting it into the forward 50. And oh, that's a free kick to Rhys Stanley. It looks like Harris Andrews punched him in the mush. And oh no, this is a big opportunity for Geelong. Here we go. He's going to have to line up quickly, Rhys Stanley. He goes. It's only 15 metres out on a slight angle. And he's at the post. What? He shanked that one and he's hobbled off, pretending that he's injured so he doesn't look as bad. You just cost Geelong the grand final, mate. What are you doing, mate?